It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
And that is why they stopped calling them Dr. Crispenheimer's incendiary suppositories and switched to calling them Rice Krispie treats.
Still, that's kind of false advertising, don't you think?
Well, I mean, you know, it was wartime, so
I guess
they had stuff to do with. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world. The others all stop. I can't remember if I used that one before or not.
It seems like maybe you have, but maybe you haven't. Doesn't matter.
It's amazing it would take this long to
figure
out.
It's a good one.
I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 278.
There we go. 278.
No, just 278.
Wait.
Is it 278?
Oh,
the and implies
sorry.
A decimal.
Oh, sorry.
Like 278 one-hundredths or something.
There is, I remember that specifically from learning how to write checks.
Yeah.
That was, in my day, I'm guessing in yours, unless they hadn't invented checks yet, part of math class was a little section in which we learned to make change and to write a check and things like that. And that's where you learned rules like that.
Yep.
For those of you just joining us for the first time, it doesn't get any more interesting.
Nope.
Sorry. Here's how it works. We have a hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. And people like yourselves write into that address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, comments, questions, topics, things like that. The hat, all on its own, magically, transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them, which manifest physically within the hat itself. We, its excellent servants, not excellent, egg-cellent.
Right. Little Vincent Price action there.
Draw those note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour, that's the whole show. Does Addy look bigger to you?
Mm-hmm.
He's definitely bigger. When we took him to the vet, he's now 3 pounds, and he was a pound and a half. He's definitely changing. He has a personality now that I can, like, identify.
Oh, you didn't think so before?
Well, it's hard to tell. It's like with babies. Like, you know, babies sort of all act the same, but I was starting to notice things. Like, he had a personality, but to me it was a very generic one that any cat his age would basically have.
Generic kitten personality.
Exactly, and now he's starting to have things. Twiglet has finally decided that he likes him.
Oh, he does?
Well, like, maybe a strong word, but Twiglet will play with him.
Oh.
Without hissing. And it was... sorry about that, kitten, that was my fault. I shouldn't have put that there. The other day he was doing it, he came over to play with him, and Addy was confused because nobody ever plays with him voluntarily. And so Twiglet just kind of bonked him on the head. And then Twiglet lays on his back, which is his prime, that's his drunken monkey kung fu style. He gets on his back, and then he can get at you like that. But it's playing, so he gets on his back, and then he waits. Now, with Ezzy, she likes to be sneaky, but when she attacks, she attacks. Like, she's on you, and you're wrestling. They would get in moves where they were rabbit-kicking each other's heads simultaneously. It was crazy. Addy apparently likes counting coup.
Oh.
Addy just would come over, bonk Twiglet on the head, and run back. And he did this like 4 times before Twiglet had any idea what's going on. He's like, what is happening? This is not playing. But and sometimes he's still annoying. Nobody likes to play as much as Addy wants to, so we all get kind of annoyed with that. And like the other night, he was just a little shit. I don't know what it is, but he just wanted to bite and attack everyone all the time, all night long. It was awful. But then like last night, he was causing some trouble, but you could tell, because that's the thing, he's learning that there are behaviors that are not supposed to happen, or at least not supposed to happen all the time, and things like that. And he's trying, but it's still his instinct. So, like, Twiglet's tail, we're in bed. I can see him trying not to go for the tail, but he has to do it because it's just there and it's wiggling, and Twiglet will smack him down. But he tries not to, but he can't help himself. But Twiglet's being very patient with him lately. I've been pretty impressed. As he's still figuring out. Although, as he will still play with him, but she'll hiss the whole time. But yeah, he's doing pretty good and getting bigger. How's your week been?
It was good. We weren't going to go to the lake over the 4th, but last minute we ended up deciding to go, mostly because we thought of a family member on my wife's side who lives in Denver, we thought was going to make it into town. So we thought, well, it would be a poor thing if we couldn't, you know, this person's driving 16 hours to get here and we can't drive 3 hours to get to the lake. Well, she ended up not coming. No. So it's like, okay, well, but it was fine.
Should have been like, all right, we can't stand the rest of you. We're out of here.
Her brother was up there and it was fine. It was a good time, but we hadn't really planned to go. So it was kind of a last minute thing, but it turned out okay. Other than that, not a lot going on. I forgot to mention last time that we had our last playtest of Dave Avid's game that he's developing, which was fun. And this coming weekend, we'll have, I think, our last installment of that Star Wars game we've been role-playing.
Oh, the Edge of the Empire thing? Yeah.
And Mark and his wife have been involved with that. So
cool.
We're looking forward to that, but not a lot going on. We started watching Netflix. We started watching Madam Secretary.
Oh, which is, it's not Gina Davis, it's the Taya Leone one.
Yes.
Yeah. I've heard good things. I haven't heard a lot of specific things, though. I've just heard that people like it.
It's, she's good. She's very good. Her character's good. The acting's good.
It took her a few years, but Taya Leone became quite a good actress. And young Taya Leone was not that impressive, but she's got...
Well, I mean, I don't know what kind of actor she is in general. I mean, it could be that she's a producer on this show, so it could just be this character is tailor-made for her, and so it works out. But we like it. We like her and her character. There are a lot of other things about the show that do not work. Tim Daly, for example, does not work. He doesn't act very well when he's by himself. He doesn't have very much chemistry with the lead, who's supposed to be his wife. It just doesn't work.
I feel bad saying this, but shouldn't we all have seen that coming?
I don't
Other
know.
Than Wings.
I mean, yeah.
I have never seen Tim Daly in something and gone, awesome casting choice.
I thought Wings was fine.
Wings is fine. But I've seen Tim Daly's in a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And he always looks like the guy they put in there until they could find the guy they wanted, and then they forgot.
Well,
you
know, he voiced Superman in the animated stuff, which I didn't like. I didn't like his portrayal.
He's just always he's like an older Jason Biggs. He just sort of plays the generic guy in everything, and he comes off that way.
As an aside, because I know I always forget to ask you this, you know, Linda Carter is in Fallout 4, right?
No, who is she in Fallout 4?
She is the that lounge singer, the one in red.
Oh,
yeah.
I could have slept with Linda Carter. I didn't do it, man.
Which I mean, I remember I didn't know at the time when our character met her that it was Linda Carter, and I thought, wow, she's got a great voice, and I liked the original songs that they wrote.
Yeah,
for the
thing. They were.
And really you hear them fun. Sometimes on the radio, and it was only later that, oh, that's Linda Carter. I didn't know, but anyway. Also, the show, most of the stuff with her family, the lead character's family, aside from the fact that Tim Daly is terrible and has no chemistry, not just with his wife, but with the kid, with the whole family thing, doesn't work. But there's three kids, and they don't give them much to do, or so the whole. Anytime they're doing family stuff in the show, it's like...
Doesn't really work.
Yeah. And on top of that, anytime they're doing things in the office, and it doesn't involve her, it just involves her coworkers interacting, also doesn't work. And you would think, after all that, you would be like, well, gosh, this must be a really terrible show. But the fact of the matter is a lot of the rest of the writing is pretty good. So you just kind of let the boring parts go and you just kind of watch the other parts and it's interesting. I really don't know how the show can have so many. It's not like the other parts are bad. They're just not, you just can't wait for them to be over so they'll move on to something.
In comparison, you can, yeah.
So you can watch what you're really interested in seeing. But I mean, you know, we'll watch both seasons that are on Netflix. That's all the seasons there are so far. I think it's coming back.
I think it is too, yeah. Oh, yeah, is he? What's up?
But,
do you remember about podcasting?
The thing that this show has going for it that Scandal doesn't, Scandal, the lead character is supposed to be this genius of fixing political problems.
Mm-hmm.
But in the show, this is more something that's claimed about her and by herself than it's actually demonstrated.
I always hate that kind of thing.
And, you know, every once in a while...
The producer has come home.
Every once in a while, they have a moment in Scandal where it's supposed to be like, kind of like when Sherlock Holmes reads people.
Yeah.
Now she's going to do her little West Wing-esque political patter on how brilliant she's going to solve your problem, and it never as brilliant as it's supposed to sound.
That's a shame. That is hard to do, though.
But what Madam Secretary has going for it is that sometimes when she's coming, she's supposed to be billed as this person who doesn't just think outside the box, doesn't even realize there is a box. The conceit here is that her being in the CIA for many years and being a really good analyst and really good at doing CIA stuff, it's going to make her uniquely positioned to be a good Secretary of State, because apparently none of the Secretaries of State have been like that before. I don't know, maybe that's not true, but anyhow, she really does seem to solve problems in a way that you could imagine a good CIA agent would solve problems, and in a way that's clever. It's oversimplified, of course.
No, but if it's consistent, that's
But it's consistent, and it's convincing. I mean, you know, some part of your brain is saying, yeah, that's too easy, but at least you feel like, okay, I can buy that in a way that you just don't with Scandal.
Yeah.
But, so, you know, we'll keep watching it. We think it's pretty good. We, obviously, my wife and I like female-led shows, and then whenever we hear of one on Netflix that we can watch, we're going to give it a try. So, yeah, we've been watching that, and it's been pretty good. But other than that, nothing really going on this week. How about you?
So much.
Yeah?
I don't know much to say about video games. Done some more work on the book. I'm not exactly sure how far. I'm under 34,000, but I think just a little bit. Killed off a character for the first time.
Oh.
I feel comfortable saying that because it's a first draft, so who knows what'll happen eventually. But in the way I did it right now, I killed off a character. And that was kind of a big deal. And I made it a big deal. Too often, people encounter violent death in books, and, like, you know, they have to deal and just move. Like, I tried to do it like, this is a person who's never seen something like this before.
Mm.
And deal with it as realistically as I could.
Right.
While still not slowing down things too much, but we'll see. Getting really kind of scouted. I'm hoping I do some good writing this weekend, because I'm really getting someplace.
Good.
We finished out this last week. We did nothing for 4th of July weekend, and it was awesome. In fact, Saturday, I mostly slept. We literally did, like, nothing Saturday. It was great. But we ended up watching a fair bit of TV, and we finished out two seasons that we had of shows. We finished out the season, first off, of Elementary.
Mm-hmm.
Still fucking love that show. And it still has some of the dumbest murder mystery police procedural stuff ever. Castle level bullshit. But that's not why you love the show. I continue to love it, and it continues to surprise me. The ending for it, like what was going on, I figured it out like 2 seconds before they said it, and I don't want to spoil anything. This season had a guest star that is really awesome. And especially playing off of Johnny Miller, it was just amazing. Fucking love that show. Elementary. People, watch it. Watch it for at least like 5 episodes, because then it's when it stops sucking. Because it does suck in the beginning. I don't really understand why, but hell of a show. And then we finished out the season of Wynonna Earp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I immediately looked up if there's going to be a second season. And it appears that at this point, nobody knows. Like, it hasn't been decided. I want there to be a second season so bad.
Really?
Because that show is such a fucking mess.
It really is.
It's amazing. But I'm having feelings like when I watched first season Once Upon a Time. Like, it's not quite Hate Watch, but I want to watch it because it's just so ridiculous. You heard me complaining. Like, as the season progressed, they switched over from caring about character at all to just plot, because they constantly had characters doing things that made no sense because it had to further the plot and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But, holy shit, by the end, we had like 6 cliffhangers at the end, and at least 4 of them didn't exist until the last episode. It was just, it's such a hot mess, but never boring. I was never bored.
It feels like the original material might be good. It's based on like a
yeah, but only like a. It's a very short. It was a very limited run series, but yeah. Well, and it also started reminding me of Lost Girl the little bit I saw, and of course that's because the creator is one of the creators of Lost Girl. Mm. But it has that very serious vibe. It has the weird, sexy stuff that's done very Canadian basic cable-y, so it's like odd. But yeah, that thing is just such a fucking hot mess. I so want it to continue because it's hilarious. Also found out later, and see if this is weird for you. This is super weird for me. The actress who plays Waverly. By the way, the Earps, shitty child namers, just all around. but the actress who plays Waverly, actually British.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
That I didn't know.
Me neither, and it's really hard to picture. Like, I want to look up something else she's done. Cause
seems like I've seen her in other things.
Because she's such the, like, all-American girl.
Pretty much, her, yeah. She's clearly cast that way.
So that was kind of amazing to me. But movies. Saw movies. I saw a hilarious one yesterday. I would recommend it if it sounds good to you, people. It's on Amazon Prime for free. It's called Police Women. And I want to say it was a 70s exploitation movie edited for television, but based on certain things, I feel like it's a 70s exploitation movie made for television. Mm. It's absolutely PG, so if anybody's concerned about that, not a problem. There's no sex, no nudity. Well, okay, there is sex, but there's no real sex. No nudity, no... Even the swear words. The swear words are muted, which is hilarious. You can tell they're saying them, but they mute them. But it is so ridiculous, and it's so, it's very seriously trying to be feminist and doing it so clumsily. Like, in some ways it does it really well, but there's just other stuff. Well, it's like when I talk about the old Wonder Woman TV show. Mm-hmm. It's like a speech about empowering women immediately followed by a sleazy catfight. Like, that kind of vibe. Also, it's called Police Women. There's literally one police woman in it. She's the star, so I mean, police woman would make sense, but not police women. And the 70s fashion, the 70s slang, to the degree that it feels like it wasn't just that's how they talked back then, but like somebody was like, what are the kids saying nowadays, and tried to like shoehorn it in. The absolutely atrocious fight choreography. Everybody in this studies martial arts, and I'm pretty sure nobody involved in this movie ever studied martial arts. Hilarious.
I wonder if it is... Do you think the movie was connected in any way to Angie Dickinson's Police... Wasn't it Police Woman, the name of her show?
I don't know for sure. It could have been. That could have been... This one is somebody else's big... Sandra... Somebody, I forget. Is the lead in it. But it's deliciously ridiculous. But on a more serious note, something we saw, we finally saw Hail Caesar, the Coen Brothers one.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys seen that?
Not yet. I mean, we probably will. We pretty much see all the Coen Brothers stuff eventually, yeah. Even if we don't.
I think we're gonna be interested in it. I do recommend it, but not very strongly. I'm still coming to terms with the fact that I really feel like I should have liked the movie a lot more. Everything about it was good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is. Amazing cast. They had great performances. A very kind of interesting, quirky, funny story.
Yeah, but the Coen Brothers stuff has a definite you know, feel. And maybe and you're it's, just getting it's, weary of it.
Well, that's the thing. This feels... It's written and directed by them.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels more like something where they were just EP on it, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
It makes great... Somebody I talked with yesterday said it might suffer for the worst use of Frances McDormand ever.
Mm.
To which I said, wait, Frances McDormand was in this? And they told me who, and I was like, holy shit, that is a waste of her. Mm. Trish disagrees. She thinks it was a good part, and she did recognize her immediately. But it also has possibly, in my opinion, the best use of Jonah Hill ever, which is in part because he's on screen for like 5 minutes, but also it's just a very good part for him. But just the hell, I mean, George Clooney's a main person in it. Josh Brolin is the main guy in it. You've got Scarlett Johansson doing some great stuff in it. Yeah, it's just a really great cast.
I'm not sure that we should put that in our Netflix queue. I don't think it's in there.
It's set in the 1950s, and it's about movie studios, and it's about politics a little bit, but mostly it's about movie studios. Oh, and Tilda Swinton playing twin journalists. That's clearly a Dear Abby, whatever stab.
Anne Landers.
It's not quite that, because part of the thing is one of them is a gossip columnist and one of them considers themselves a serious journalist.
Mm-hmm.
But it's clearly there's a vibe to that, and she does a great job doing that too. Find me something where I could say Tilda Swinton didn't do real well in this. The worst thing I ever saw Tilda Swinton do was probably Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And I still think she did a great with what she had.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a dumb part, but she did a great job. Yeah, she's never, even in Trainwreck, she was amazing. And in Trainwreck, she was weirdly miscast, but she did an incredible job. So yeah, I recommend it, but it just wasn't nearly as interesting as I thought it was going to be. So that was a little sad. I think that's it. I already talked about the Mac. Oh, no. Gaming.
Mm-hmm.
Superhero game is dead.
Dead?
Dan didn't want to do it no more. He feels like it's not working.
Mm.
He doesn't want to do it. And I said, okay, so then what? And he says, well, we play something else. And I said, I can't GM. I'm 32,000 words into a novel here.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot expend energy on that. And he's like, no, I'll do it. I'm like, okay. So we settled on what we're going to play. And Neuroduck, who has been attending our sessions mostly just to like watch us play, may actually be playing in this one. Not positive. Wow. But we're going to play Dungeons & Dragons.
No kidding.
Fifth Ed, so the good one, apparently. But yeah, Dungeons & Dragons.
That'll be fun.
It should be very interesting. The GM and his wife played in like a once a month game, so they played it a little bit. And it seems pretty cool from what I've looked over so far. So yeah, I think that'll be kind of fun.
Any idea what you're going to do?
Today I wrote down 10 character ideas.
Are they all completely different from one another? Are they all kind of...
They're all largely different from one another. Okay. They all have different classes. A couple of them have the same race. But I think there are fewer races than that anyway. Yeah. I first of all, I like to play lots of different things. And second of all, I also like to... Especially in a game like this, where like there will be combat and tactics will matter and stuff, I like to wait and see what everybody else is playing and see like what fills the niche.
Sure, sure.
And also to not make something that runs very counter to everybody else.
Right, right.
And so I came up with stuff. And I kind of put them together. I even sent them to Dan because I'm like, if other people are struggling with character ideas, here's some stuff. If you need stuff for your NPCs. Because all it is like race, class, and like two sentences about their background.
Mm-hmm.
But I tried to include like good adventure hooks in them and stuff mm-hmm. that the GM can use later. So I don't know, for some reason, especially with regular fantasy, it's really easy for me to do that.
Mm.
So yeah, I just tore off about 10 of them. I've got a couple that I'm particularly interested in, potentially. Like there's some that are more interesting. I'd be willing to play any of them, but there's some that are more interesting to me than others. There's a lot of being beholden to a greater power in there nowadays.
Mm.
Because clerics have that, and it specifies, like, in some places, the cleric was not initially a worshiper of said deity. Like, said deity chose them and imposed their will on them.
Mm.
There's also the warlock, which is, I think, a newer class sword. I think it's only been the last few editions. That's sort of the same thing. You made a pact with some great, terrible being from beyond human understanding. Sorcerers are essentially things that people that have magic naturally because they were touched by some, like they have dragon blood in them, or they were touched by wild magic or something like that. But again, something, some greater power that has imposed this on you. Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff like that. The druids have got some stuff like that. So there's, and I find that fun, and a lot of the things I'm coming up with are, I like the sort of counterfeel. Like, I have to work with this entity, which was not my idea, and is really sort of counter to how I would operate. So a lot of my personality growth is going to be trying to reconcile the two things. My absolute top choice right now is what's called a dragonborn, which is weird because they used to be called dragonkin, I thought. And wouldn't Bethesda have copyrighted dragonborn? But they call them dragonborn. It's dragon humanoid things. But they're fairly uncommon, and they're fairly, like, distrusted because they're freaky lizard people. And I want to make a cleric of one, but that was chosen by a god that's not one of the dragon gods. There's a couple of gods that are, like, actually dragons. And like, a really nice... So this is somebody who's, like, this big, scary, powerful dragon person who now is trying to lead a fairly good and helpful life out there in the world, and sort of reconciling those two halves of their personality. And I got a few of them that are kind of like that. And some real simple ones, you know. I've got the raised poor human who, you know, became a thief and that kind of deal. But even though that one's boring, I know that one's good because I've essentially played that character before, and it's a great starting point because then you've got so much room for personality growth as your character finds things to actually give a damn about is the big aspect of it. The last time I played it, yeah, it was just a straight thief and was there to get paid and steal shit, and by the end of it, the last time I had it, they actually immolated themselves to save the rest of the party. Like, that was their they sacrificed their lives to save everyone else at the end. That's how much that character had grown over time. So, that was cool. Yeah, so that should be interesting. I think that's about it.
We did see Dracula Untold.
Hey!
This week, I forgot to mention.
Hey! You're well on your way to the Universal Cinematic Universe. Are you so excited?
I am.
Was this a great sign of things to come?
Oh, I hope it's not that, but...
Uh-huh.
It wasn't... Okay, here's the thing. I think the big commercial problem with this film, aside from any actual filmmaking problems it had, the big commercial problem with this film is when you call something Dracula Untold, you're pretty much going to send the message, just by the title, out to the general public that this is going to be, I don't know, a horror movie? Or maybe a supernatural thriller, even? And it's neither of those things.
Mm-mm.
It's a fantasy picture, really. Which is fine.
Or one could argue a superhero origin story that happens to be set in the past.
which is a kind of fantasy picture in a way. I mean, you know, unless it's a science fiction superhero, which it's not. Yeah. So anyhow, that's what it is.
You don't think Charles Dance is like that because of his midichlorians?
the thing about it is, though, if you're going to be, and I don't have a problem with the title of a movie per se, but you're going to have to market it in a way that tells people that this is not going to be a horror story or even a supernatural thriller. But that's not what they did.
No.
They definitely sold that angle of it, and the movie is not that at all.
No.
So it's no wonder that just about everybody was disappointed in it. But I didn't really have any expectations about it. I didn't really think about it in those terms. So when I watched it, in fact, I knew quite a bit about it before we watched it. I'd already realized, oh, this isn't going to be a horror story or a supernatural thriller. This is going to be something completely different. So without those expectations, I found it to be not terrible. It wasn't...
I think that's fair. If I'm trying not to just laugh derisively at it, I think probably a good way to describe it would be any of the Underworld movies, minus the particularly horrific elements, and also with much more dumbed down mythology.
Yeah, that would be a good way to describe it. I mean,
I don't consider that a compliment in any form.
I think part of the problem here is, I think they really are, like you were saying, like a superhero origin story. I think they really are. What they want to end up with is they want all of these characters to be in the modern times, and they want them
fighting crime.
Yeah, they probably want them to team up.
Oh yeah! Oh
almost,
fuck yeah!
Almost like Justice League Dark, except. Yeah. You know,
stupid.
Well, I don't know if I think it's stupid. I mean, here's the things I liked about it. I liked that there was...
He was killing a lot of Turks. Williams always hated
no,
Turks.
There's a lot of respect for the actual history of this guy. Not a whole lot, but more than you usually get.
It does hew closer to... Historical Vlad.
But
being said, Historical Vlad's not that interesting.
Well, but, and also, not just the things that happened in his life, but also the fact that most people in that area see him as a hero. Mm. Not as a villain or a bad guy at all. I thought the ideas they had for this character to make him kind of a hero or anti-hero character, I thought the ideas were sound. The execution was... not quite
good. I thought the ideas were cliched as fuck. I feel if you boil down the story to what it is, which is hard to do because there's so much crap in the way, it's a story I've seen 1,000 times.
I suppose, but I think...
And done better.
I think they could have done it. I don't know why they seem
to... It could have been made into a mediocre film.
Well, they rushed it, you know? For one thing, it could have been a little bit longer without much problem, and they could have... Like you said, it could have been something that I probably would have thought was great, even if you thought it was mediocre, but, you know, we could have agreed to disagree on that, because I'm going to appreciate some things that you're going to find boring or uninspiring. But
at this point, if you are giving me Dracula, if you are giving me Peter Pan, if you are giving me Sherlock Holmes... You better have something fucking fresh to talk about, or else why are we bothering?
Exactly.
And that still doesn't guarantee it, because the Robert Downey Jr. Sherlock Holmes, love Sherlock Holmes, love Robert Downey Jr., fuck those movies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Those are stupid as hell.
Okay, but...
But this failed even at that level, in my opinion.
Sure, sure, but I still... When I first heard that the Universal was going to do this, I can't explain why, but I was pretty excited about it.
I think I could explain why, because you like the old Universal Monster movies.
I do.
And the idea of somebody using them and doing something cool with them. Probably the same way you'd get excited when you find out that DC is going to do its own cinematic universe until you saw some of the films involved.
Well, so anyway...
You like when people take things that you like and try and do new shit with them.
That's
until
right.
You find out that the shit they do is shit.
Except, you know? Knowing a lot about the movie ahead of time, so I wouldn't be too disappointed... Knowing that this was the first of a series that they were going to do that I liked the idea of.
Mm. It's still fucking happening.
I liked the fundamentals of it. It wasn't executed very well, but there wasn't anything about it that made me think, well, this character is not a character I'm interested in seeing what happens to them. I feel okay about it. I feel like, yeah, I can keep watching these movies and get invested in this series, even though this film... wasn't as good as it could be.
It's definitely watchable.
I can get behind this character. Now, the one thing they did that I'm a little worried about is this whole thing about his wife being like reincarnated and him being. I mean, that's not part of the original novel, of course.
No, but it's been done a lot.
Well,
lately.
It's my understanding is that idea is kind of, I don't know if it was originally done in this story, but it's in modern popular culture. I think the originator of that idea is in The Mummy, which makes sense for Egyptian.
Yes, whatever. Yes, yes, yes. The first instance I recall of it with Dracula is the Coppola movie.
That's but I my understanding too, because I don't even think in Nosferatu he was like fascinated like
no
in Bram Stoker's book. there's no particular fascination of Dracula with Mina for any particular reason.
No.
She just happens to be a victim.
Yeah, the whole Mina-Dracula romance got invented, again, probably by Coppola.
Yeah,
and actually, I like that better.
Well, in Nosferatu, he seems particularly fascinated with Mina, but not like in a, oh, she's the reincarnation of my dead wife or whatever. Now, in the original...
It's a silent movie, so I love that his expression said, I'm obsessed with this woman.
Well, but you know what they could
say,
do? They could,
I'm obsessed because she's the reincarnation of my dead wife.
They could show her photograph and then a portrait, you know, that kind of thing.
No, no. That was not me faulting you. Obviously, if that was what you wanted to convey, you could not do it in that one Willem Dafoe-looking motherfucker's face. But the fact that, like, I specifically looked at him, and that was not in that expression.
But
like,
but in the original.
Speaking of which, have you seen that movie?
What?
The fictional recounting of the making.
Yeah,
of
with
that.
Malkovich in it
and Willem Dafoe.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah,
we've talked about
it
before.
I wanted to like it more than I did, but...
Oh, I really liked it. But anyway, in the original Universal Mummy with... what's his name playing? The mummy. God, what's his name?
Billy Zane?
No, you know the guy who did Frankenstein first.
Oh, Lon Chaney?
No. No, Lon
Rupert Everett?
He didn't do Frankenstein first. It was...
Jonah Hill?
Come on, you know who I'm talking about. The guy who did Frankenstein in the 1931 or whatever it was.
LeVar Burton? I've never seen it.
Boris Karloff.
There we go.
Boris Karloff was the mummy in the original Mummy, and I'm pretty sure that's the first story that incorporated this. There was a woman in modern times who was a reincarnation of his wife, which fits in with Egyptian...
Egyptians are all about that shit.
Some kind, a little bit, or whatever. I mean, there's some debate about that, but anyway.
Yeah. And, cinematic Egyptians are all about that shit.
And I didn't know...
Because, yeah, they pulled that in the Brendan Fraser mummies and stuff, too.
So I don't really like them adding that to Dracula's thing that, oh, his wife is reincarnated or whatever. And that's part of this film, Dracula Untold, and I'm a little worried that they're going to do it in a way that sort of erases the novel. Like the events of Bram Stoker's novel didn't happen. Because right now, you can assume that they did happen and somehow he was revived again or whatever, but...
Mm.
But I'd sooner them not go a route where Bram Stoker's novel is just erased. We've just got Dracula Untold, and then he's alive in the 21st century.
Sadly, I think it's going to be worse than either of those options.
Yeah, maybe.
I think what it's going to be is they will take elements from there and introduce them, but in ways that have no relation to what actually happened with characters and things
like,
and stuff
for
that.
For example, I don't want them to have a 21st century version of Bram Stoker's book where there's Van Helsing and where there's... I don't want that.
I doubt that'll happen. No, but I think you may have shit where, like, there's a place called Carfax Abbey, but it's like a disco. Or this dude happens to be named Seward and
yeah,
he shows
I don't want
up.
That.
No, that'll probably fucking happen.
I really
happen.
Don't want that.
That happens a lot.
Well, we'll see what happens. I mean, I have a feeling that Frankenstein is going to be like the Incredible Hulk of the team or something, which oddly makes some sense when you tie it back to the novel, but not that much sense. It's just going to be silly if
Frank
they do that.
Smash.
That's what I mean. Like, in
oh, I did watch Lady Frankenstein also recently. Hmm. Old 1972
Hammer Studios. Or?
I think that's not who the company was, but it very much looked like that. And that was kind of hilarious, because it was interesting. It was a slightly different take. They tried to make it into... It was, like, they really sort of upped the science aspect of it. Mm. And that was kind of interesting. But, yeah, it was a little... I don't know. It was all right.
Well, I look forward to the rest of them anyway.
Because you always look forward to things.
And there's nothing wrong
everything.
With that.
So much wrong with that.
No, there
isn't. Okay, he's got the hat, people. Stand back. Excellent.
Craig wants to know.
Craig, holy crap. Craig,
what
you're
was,
still out there.
What was the last thing that disgusted you? Wow.
Wow, we're really going to talk about it. All right.
That's like a daily thing for me.
Especially right now.
Yeah, exactly. Something every day disgusts me.
For some reason, I did not find out until today even about Anton Sterling's death, let alone the other gentleman whose name I already forgot, which I apologize for, but it's not because he's black, I just forget people's names. And I found this interesting. I don't normally go for this, but there was a footage I saw of a radio DJ who had been talking to a police officer in an interview and showed him, because it was filmed. A lot of people filmed it, and so you got to see it. And he's like, the guy's saying, well, you have to understand. And he says, well, it looks bad, though, right? Can you at least say it looks bad? And he said, well, and he went on a big tirade that no, and the more I thought about it, all of these cases that we've had, so many now, you know, I don't recall ever any police officer, even like from a totally different part of the country, coming forward and saying, those guys fucked up, those guys murdered that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Not one. And as the radio DJ was saying, that's why everybody keeps, like, it's not every cop. It's a small number of cops. But if you close ranks to this degree, we have to look at you as cops.
Mm-hmm.
And not one person. Because, especially in this case, like, it looks bad. Like, I wasn't there. I don't know what's going on. But I literally can't imagine the extenuating circumstances that would make that okay.
Right, right.
There's no... Apparently, Larry Wilmore went off. Because he's like, you know, I don't know everything that happened, but that guy did not deserve to die for selling bootleg CDs. He did not deserve to die for having a gun on him in an open carry state. Like, whatever his crime, that nobody should die from resisting arrest. Like, this is not a thing. And am I just missing it and nobody reports when the black guy kills the cop, or when the cops do this with a white person? I feel like I'm not. I feel like that would make more news. And I'm not saying it's never happened, but I'm just saying I don't feel like it's biased coverage. I feel like cops are fucking killing black guys, like, all the time under very weird reasons.
Well,
and I don't understand entirely why, and there's lots of reasons, both, you know, conspiracy theorist and fairly, you know, benefit of the doubt is, but none, regardless, it's not okay.
Right.
It has to stop.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's... there are things we know for certain are our law enforcement community and our... I mean, from police to judges to prisons, whatever. There are things we know for certain disproportionately affect people of color. There's just no doubt about that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, it's just straight up numbers.
So
you can just see the numbers.
And of course, the claim is that this is one of those things that people of color are wrongfully killed or harmed by police responding too harshly to situations. And it's easy to believe that's true because people of color are disproportionately affected by every other aspect of the criminal justice system. And of course, we kind of have this video evidence and a few other things. I mean, I'm with you. I haven't looked at any statistics about how often this happens to white people versus people of color, you know, proportionally speaking. I mean, if it's happening, it probably happens to more white people than black people, but that's because there are more white people.
Yeah, yeah, as a ratio, yeah.
Right, so proportionally, that's what we're talking about. So yeah, I mean, for both of us, I'm sure that the last big thing that disgusted us was this. Although I was also a little bit disgusted by, apparently sometime last week, I want to say last week or 2 weeks ago, a British citizen who was in the United States, his visa had expired, but he was at a Trump rally and he attempted to grab a gun to assassinate.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I didn't know he was British. But I do remember, yeah, somebody tried to kill
Trump. It's not making very much news. This is what disgusted me.
No, because from what I hear, it never had a chance. Apparently, it was pretty sloppily done, and
right,
there was no chance.
But I was talking to Jazz about this, and she made a good point. Let's think about this for a second. Does it really matter how sloppy it was or how far away it was from working? Don't you think Trump would make a big deal out of this about how someone tried to assassinate him, you know, like really, I don't know, brag about how important and powerful and dangerous he is?
I have a hard time predicting Trump, but yeah, possibly.
Sounds plausible, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So what Jazz said was, what if this had not been a white guy?
That's true. This doesn't fit his platform.
More to the point, what if...
Which is too bad, because he is foreign.
He was foreign, and his visa, he was here illegally. Basically, his entire illegal immigration thing feeds into this, except that the guy is white.
Yeah.
So Trump is...
A white and not Muslim, but yeah.
Yeah, well, do you see what I'm saying?
Absolutely, no, absolutely.
So this is something that Trump is probably resisting talking about for entirely racist reasons.
Yes.
Which is disgusting.
But shouldn't be surprising.
Not surprising, but still disgusting.
I've run out of useful things to say with regard to Trump. All I have to say is vitriolic and incredibly uncharitable and not helpful to any discussion, so I opt not to say anymore. Except, I did have to check with my friends the other day who were very big Bernie supporters that they weren't now going to vote for Trump. And they assured me that they were not and that they thought that was crazy. And I said, well, I've seen people who are, and which is hilarious because even Bernie's not doing I believe he's officially endorsed Clinton now. If not, he's pretty much done that. Like, so I don't understand that, but
well,
don't do that, people. Just in general, don't vote for Trump.
I think now that I'm thinking about it, the very last thing that disgusted me before we got here, now I have to remember what it was because I was just about to talk about it. Oh, shoot, it was on the news. Oh.
Well, you think about it. I have something else to say here about Black Lives Matter. Being a cop is a super tough job.
Yeah.
I could never do it. But there's not a way for it not to be tough, and it kind of should be tough because it's very important. And if you are fucking up this bad for whatever reason, you shouldn't be a cop. There are so many police officers that should not be police officers. I've known many personally. So I'm not anti-police.
Well, that you can say that for any... there are a lot of doctors who shouldn't be doctors. There are a lot of lawyers that shouldn't be lawyers. So surely there's going to be police officers that shouldn't be police officers. Soldiers who shouldn't be soldiers.
But I feel like there should... what I'm saying is get the fuckers out who are costing lives by doing their job poorly.
Well, sure. Exactly.
And in this case, it's not... I mean, negligence is a thing, but... This is murder.
I remember the last thing that disgusted me before I came over here. So, I sent you and a few other people...
Tell that. That's awesome.
News video about how in the new Star Trek reboot series, whatever, they've decided...
Star Trek Beyond. It's the new movie, actually.
Yeah.
It's not the series, it's the movie.
That Sulu is going to be presented as a gay man, not in any kind of, like...
They're going to talk about, like, what's waiting for him back home, and it's a daughter that he's raising with his husband.
With his husband, right. So, and of course, this, in part, is to honor George Takei, who's a gay man himself, but also a champion of LGBT rights.
And the original Sulu.
And they thought, okay, yeah, and the original Sulu. And I thought, this is cool. This is great. So I'm reading the comments below that video, which I know I should never do. And this is what I find interesting. And this is pretty common for anything like this, if it's feminist or pro-LGBT or if it's about race. You'll see a whole bunch of comments where someone will say, who cares about this? Just shut up about this. We don't care. Why do you have to ruin everything by doing this, that, or the other thing? You know, social justice warriors, all that stuff. Who cares, they'll say. Which I always think is funny because obviously you care because you're posting about it. Mm-hmm. And that's the irony here is that the people, you know, like you and me, who are trying to rid ourselves of whatever racist, sexist, whatever stuff's been drilled into our heads since we were little, the fact is, we don't care, or are trying desperately not to care, what a person's skin color is, or gender, or sex, or anything else. The only reason we have to care about it at all is because the bigots care. Mm-hmm. But ironically, you know, they're constantly accusing us of bringing up this issue that is a non-issue or shouldn't be an issue. And it wouldn't be an issue if the bigots weren't out there constantly, you know, being violent towards certain people, or just systematically excluding certain people, you know, disproportionately imprisoning or shooting certain people. You know, we don't want to care about a person's status and their orientation or whatever. We want that to be a non-issue. That's what we want. But it's not going to be a non-issue as long as you, the bigots, are making it an issue. Mm-hmm. And I just, post after post was like that. Like,
oh, of course.
Like, you know,
people just love to talk about how much they don't care about something. Dude, there is a song from a little while back now. I can't remember which crazy young former Disney star, teeny bopper, pop star it was. But somebody wrote an entire song about how they don't care about their ex anymore. Unironically. Yeah. Which is hilarious to me also because Jonathan Colton wrote one very ironic about that. This song is not about you.
Yeah.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Weirdly, my biggest memory of that is remembering your wife singing that song one time. I don't remember why.
Another group that did something like that was Flight of the Conchords. They did a song that was supposed to be all about how I don't think about you anymore. I don't really care. I'm not hurt by what happened, but clearly the person.
But this is like straight up, and it's the one. Yeah, I'll see you and.
But isn't the song "You're So Vain" like that? You're so vain, you probably think this song is about you, but it is about the person. That's it.
See, I feel like that one was done with a certain level of irony.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I think too.
Also, did Dave Coulier just have sex with everybody who ever wrote songs? That one and the Alanis Morissette one, both strong theories that they're about Dave Coulier. I don't know.
About the same guy?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I don't wonder how that works. But yeah, no, people love to talk about how much they don't care about something. I've caught myself doing it on occasion.
Well, I mean, this question's made me realize how much time in my life I spend being disgusted, but
especially lately.
I don't want to not be that person. I mean, I want to be outraged by these things, and I want that outrage to translate into some kind of action that will make, or not make, but contribute to a world where that kind of thing will happen less and less often.
I don't know if that's true for me. I think it varies from time to time. There are times where I would just love to not give a shit about this stuff. Because I don't like being outraged. I don't like being...
Well, I don't like...
I don't like how powerless I feel. I don't like having to be... I don't like thinking... I don't like wishing certain people were dead.
Oh, yeah, I don't
and like that either. But I'm at the point now where I do.
And
for me, that's sort of the worst thing I can do other than actually making
be dead. I agree.
But there
like
are
to be in that place
certain
either.
People now, none of whom I know personally, who I legit wish were dead in any fashion. I don't even necessarily wish them a painless death. And I don't like feeling that
way. Yeah, that'd be a terrible
And I know rationally, like, that shouldn't, and I would probably feel guilty if it happened or whatever, but like I said, you can't stop what you believe, you can't stop what you feel, and that's what I feel right now. And I don't know how to not feel it, because I don't know how to fix things.
Well, it's a tricky thing.
Except if they died, it might fix something.
It's a tricky thing, you know, outrage, because, I mean, justifiable outrage at some huge injustice, because... As you say, there are so many things you don't have control over. So you've got to be able to put it into some kind of perspective, right? There's a certain portion of that outrage that's perfectly legitimate and that's okay and that you can translate into action. If you heap a bunch of personal guilt onto it or feelings of responsibility that you shouldn't claim because it's beyond your control, it can tend to take something that could motivate you, like the legitimate outrage, and turn it into something that paralyzes you instead. So without that perspective, you're going to be in some serious trouble. And I think because that perspective is sometimes really tricky and difficult and takes time to acquire, and you might not have that time because you've got a job and you've got a family and you've got all this stuff, what you're left with as an alternative is just to not care at all and to disconnect and to unplug and to try not to even watch the news or anything.
Yeah, but I
which
mean,
I can understand and sympathize with that, but
there are plenty of issues that I believe and that I feel strongly about that I'm still rational and calm, and I can discuss it with somebody who disagrees. Mm-hmm. There is an ever-growing number of things that I'm just like, you want to argue this? Okay, my argument is a claw hammer to your face. It's a growing number, and I don't know how much is me, I don't know how much is the world, I don't know what it is, but I don't like it.
Well,
it's the producer. She's just pointing to herself now.
The culture itself, is brings about some of this. I was thinking about this just the other day. How much our vocabulary of reason is being taken away from us? Like the word compromise, for example, is being scandalized. So you can't even use it in a positive context.
To be fair, that's Stephen Covey's fault.
The word persuade, to persuade somebody to a particular point of view, is used to be a legitimate way to reason with someone. Now it's a manipulation, and you're just trying to control them.
Yeah.
So all of these, the very words we might use to talk about two people coming together to reason are being taken away. And as soon as we can't even talk about being reasonable, how are we going to be reasonable? And every time you go to a forum where people are supposed to be sharing ideas and talking, they're not doing that.
No.
They're just, you know, when the internet was young and I was online, there were conversations, there were discussions, and then there were flame wars. And those were distinct things that were different and that happened every once in a while.
Nobody talks about flames anymore.
Well, because that's all there is.
Yep, yep.
That is the natural state of things. It's the conversations that are unusual and strange. So it's getting so that people like you and me, we have an inclination to discuss these things and talk about them, but when we look out at the world, we don't see that happening. And so for us, we're also being conditioned and trained to, as soon as this topic comes up, to feel angry and not very reasonable, because whenever we hear this topic brought up by anybody else, they're angry and not very reasonable. And pretty soon the space in our culture, in our society, that was there for people to actually have sensible, reasoned conversation is going to be completely gone. Which, as that article you sent me points out, there are a lot of people who benefit from that.
Is the article about Joker's sex life?
No, the other one. In the same email.
Oh, the anxiety one.
Yeah.
No, it was a different email.
And just like the article pointed out, it's not a conspiracy or anything, it's just, this is what makes some people money. And so people in the culture and the media, they're constantly pushing people to this place, not because they hate people, not because they have an agenda, but because it's what's making them money. Purely, that's all it is. But there's no counteracting force, or a very weak counteracting force. And so the space of reason and our vocabulary, even for reasonable discourse, is being whittled away until it gets down to nothing. And then I'm not sure what's going to happen, because, you know, things can't get done if we can't have just talk to one another. If everything is just a battle, if everything is just a game we're playing with one another, where when people come to the table, they're not even interested in facts or truth or coming to sound shared conclusions. They're just concerned about, quote unquote, winning the argument, with all, now all that amounts to is who's yelling the loudest, or who tells the stingingest
and
zinger.
That's the thing that I wonder a lot. You know? I wonder if things are worse in that regard now, or if it's just because we can hear them. Like, all the same. I wonder if it's not that people have changed, it's that I have to hear a lot more people that I wouldn't have had to hear before. Because there's still this argument that a lot of these huge movements, the abortion debate, the gun debate, well, okay, the gun debate's shifting now, but a lot of these things, gay marriage for a long time, is that most people are in the middle and are like, eh. Yeah, but that the strong for and against in both situations are just a minority, but they're just so much louder now because they have the news outlets and they have the internet and things
like
that.
Right, but what's different, and you're right.
So that what we think is a really contentious issue and what we sort of internalize as a really contentious issue maybe isn't. There's just like 100 whack jobs on both sides with a lot of money and time on their hands.
Agreed.
That are making it that way.
That, I think that's true, but what's different and what makes that whole thing so problematic is the space where that you know, reasonable, moderate majority or whatever, the space where they would come and be heard is disappearing. And it's getting to the point where it doesn't matter that 90% of the people are okay with X, Y, or Z, because they're not going to have a voice in it. They're not going to have a say. And that's probably already happened. So
you should all start podcasts.
Well, what it means is somehow that large group of people, and it doesn't even have to be 90%. It doesn't even have to be a majority of people. It could be, say, 20% of the people. If just those people would say, you know what, I'm tired of all the crazy people and the people who just want to make a buck getting all the airtime. We need to change this. If just those people would do something about it, there would probably be a huge amount of change. But until that happens, society's kind of going the wrong way. And there are powerful people who benefit from this. Again, not by any kind of conspiracy or evil intention, really. Just we are the people who could do something about it just aren't. We're letting these people kind of control the debate, control the conversation. And as long as we let them do that, this is how things are going to be. And we're kind of getting just what we've asked for, I guess. If there's enough of us that could change it, and we don't, I don't think we have anyone else to blame but ourselves. But again, I go back to what I was saying before. It's kind of understandable because, I mean, lots of people, you know, working 40 hours a week at a job that you pretty much don't like, which is most people, you know, you get worn down. You don't know what to do. You don't know who to talk to. You might try writing your congressperson and maybe that doesn't do any good. So then what are you going to do? I think a lot of people don't do anything because they don't know what to do. And I understand why they feel
and
that
TV
way.
TV is so good these days, guys. We're way over time and I want to turn the air conditioning
on. Oh, sorry.
So go to the blog, people, themagicaltalkinghat.com. And tell us what disgusts you besides us. like us on Facebook, because why not? Who are you to resist? talk on the thing. Write the hat, themagicaltalkinghat.com. Listen next week. And in between, for all the listeners out there in the following week, or if you listen to it later in that week, I want you to do something for me. All of you.
Okay.
Don't kill any black people.
Yeah.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.